Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. If you'd like to see the many KPP wealth management programs, they're all described to you on investtalk.com, like the Dynamic Growth Program, providing flexible management for optimum returns. It's opportunistic, offers broad diversification, and provides potential bear market protection. To see more, click on the Investments tab right there on investtalk.com. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. I appreciate you being here. It's February 19th, 2016. Our InvestTalk mission is to empower you to take full charge of your financial life and to someday, at some time in your life, achieve financial independence. That's what we want to do. That's what we're here to teach and try to just give you information that you need to get there. And as always during this hour, your questions come first. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. You can call anytime you want. Or you can send me a note, click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin at investtalk.com. That's an email that comes directly to me. Now, being Friday, we kind of like to review the weekly premium newsletter we send out. And I give you, there's four sections of it. And the first one is about current market conditions. And I wrote about how it was a holiday shortened week, but it was a good week for the market. Had three strong up days in a row. So that was good. But don't get too excited about it, because it's three strong up days tell us we still are way below we were at the beginning of the year. And some of the issues I discussed in that section, you know, was how investors are trying to figure out, look for clues as to where the market's going to go. I mean, fourth quarter earnings season is ending, and there wasn't very good numbers there. It was a third quarter in a row where they were down. Earnings were down. But building permits for new construction look pretty strong, they reported this week. You know, so there's different parts. We talk about the different economic numbers that are coming out and whether they're strong or not. Leading economic indicators came out this morning, or was that yesterday? Yesterday morning. And they were down 0.2%, same amount that was down 0.2% last month. Anything that's negative, down 0.2%, it tells you that the economy is weak. But most of that leading economic indicator is caused, most of that weakness is caused by the stock market itself. The LEI has 10 components, one of them being the stock market. So that was the one that's dragging it down, not the other components. But the other components weren't strong enough to pull it up. You know, it's kind of interesting. So, and I always sum up in the newsletter what we are doing, KPP Financial is doing. You know, I give a brief, at the very end of this first section, a brief explanation of what we think you should do and what we're doing. And, of course, the next section is a couple stock ideas. So every week we give you a couple stock ideas. Portfolio management section, it kind of tells you this week we talked about what are some of the factors that you should ignore and what some of the factors you should pay attention to when looking for stocks. Consumer watch this week, I talked about insurance. Boring, huh? Talked the different kinds of risk management of your life and how do you protect yourself against risks like an auto accident or you die or someone else in your family dies. So life insurance, auto insurance, you know, health insurance that's being required by the new federal law. You know, how do you, those are different policies. How complex are they? They're easy to understand. That kind of thing was in that section. And that's the newsletter. It comes out every week. Different topics every time. Same categories, but always different. Now, do you have any questions about investing, life insurance, college savings plans, any money questions? Let's talk about it. Let's hear your comments. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Yes, this is Brian from Texas, and I was wondering about emerging market ETFs, particularly Brazil. I know they've been beat up terribly lately, and what's the outlook, in your opinion, on some of those emerging markets? Thanks.
Well, EWZ is the ETF for Brazil, EWZ. There's two of them, but that's one of them. And I will tell you this. I think it's too early. Brazil has been beaten up, and it has been doing terrible. It looks like they're trying to put in a bottom, but they did that in October, November, and then it fell off the cliff again. So I'm not convinced yet. I'd like to see it to get above the 100-day moving average to at least 2184. And the reason why I say that is because the time it tried to get above that average and it failed. So I'd like to see it succeed. All the emerging markets, you know, you can't put them all in the same basket, of course, but I think they're still very weak. Many emerging markets rely on commodities for their economic growth. They rely on them. It's a big part of their economy. And commodities are still very low. And so their ability to get out of their current slump is very limited. So I would kind of, you can watch it, but I wouldn't invest in it yet. They just haven't shown any strength yet. You want to see some strength coming into there, in my opinion. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Managed futures funds. Do you know what those are? Are they for you? Is it something you should have in your portfolio? Managed futures mutual funds is what we're talking about. It's going to be our main talking point today. Also, we want to discuss the CPI, what was out, inflation, that came out this morning. I want to talk about, is it possible that the market's going to slide further in 2016? And why? Why is that possible? I think it's very possible, and I want to talk about why I think it's possible. Doesn't have to happen. I don't have a crystal ball, but I think we need to discuss it. And why hasn't lower oil prices helped the world economy? And in fact, it's hurt the world economy. Why that? It's hurt the world economy. Now, in the United States, it might help us more than it hurts us because we are very consumer-driven. But it's hurt the world economy, the low oil prices. And I think those are things we want to talk about. So what do you want to talk about? The market was, the Dow was mixed. The Dow was down 21 points, but the NASDAQ was up 17, and the S&P was down a fraction, not even a point. Now, if you remember right, the market was down 40 points yesterday for the Dow, down 47 for the NASDAQ, and down 9 for the S&P. So you have a market where you had three very strong up days, and now you're followed by two kind of weakish days. It's still, it hit resistance, it hit it like hitting a wall. And you can see it on the chart of the S&P 500. Got right close to right close to the high that it made right at the beginning or the end of January, beginning of February. It made a high. The market made a high there, just coming off of a strong down pull from beginning of the year. Then it bounced and made that little high. Wasn't big. Wasn't a big high. And then it almost reached that high 3 days ago with three strong days in a row and stopped. Meaning the market, needs to show strength. And it's not showing any strength. Where's the strength going to come from? That's a bigger question. I don't see it. I don't see it coming from anything yet. There's no catalyst out there. Not yet. Could it come? Sure. But I'm more on the defensive side of that. I'm not convinced of that. And I think a lot of money managers are. And you know, there's an argument that there's so many of us on that side that it probably is not going to happen. The market's not going to fall. You get too many people on one side, and the logic is they've already taken steps to prevent, you know, collapse, and they're going to hold on to the rest of the positions they have. Well, if that's the case, who's going to be selling? We're going to decide to hold. You see, so that's how the argument goes. Now, whether that's true or not, in this case, it's never the same. Never is. Tomorrow, we have our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference in San Jose, tomorrow morning. Again, that's tomorrow, the 20th of February. It's called Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. We're going to go over a little bit of history. We're going to go out what's currently happened. And we're going to go over what you can do. You can actually buy things in this kind of market, what you can do. And normally, we do welcome walk-ins. So the seats are limited, so you might want to, you know, you might want to make reservations, but the cost is $45, and you can sign up on investtalk.com, but, you know, you can walk in too. I appreciate you being there. Call our number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I was calling in with a question regarding the stock GE. I currently have some shares, and wanted to see if you think it'd be good to take some off the top or continue to hold, and what you think the outlook is for the year. And I think you have a great show. Thank you.
General Electric, and thank you for the kind words. General Electric, GE manufactures transmission, transportation, energy generation, consumer appliances, industrial, and medical equipment. It's almost a $300 billion company, so it's very, very, it's a mega company, right? Sales have been flat the last four quarters. The last quarter was up 1%. The three quarters before that was up 0.00. Before that, a year ago, is falling. So it stopped the bleeding last year. They're going to make $1.51 this year. That's less than $1.54 they made the year before. And then $1.77 next year per share. I like GE. It's held up pretty well in this weak market. I mean, it was a high for last year, came in right at the end of the year. And that was like $31.20 or so. And then, of course, January and February, the market really took a dive. And it fell all the way to about $27.50 as of February 11th. And then, of course, it rallied the first three legs. That's pretty good. That's not a bad move down as compared to the market. The market seemed to be more volatile than that. It's still a decent pull down, but that's okay, because now here it is at sitting at 29.02. So it was at 31, now it's at 29. Not too bad for a market that's been much uglier. It's a very solid company, pays a very strong dividend, 3.2%. The issue is, it's not cheap. The P.E. ratio is 19. Okay, it's going to be around 19 or 20 for this year, and a little bit less for next year, maybe 17, 18. And the market PE average is 15, so it's still a little pricey, and it's an industrial. It's a cyclical company. It doesn't deserve any more than a market PE. So therefore, it should be trading around 15, and it's 19. So what should it be worth? What's it worth? Okay, that's a good question people ask me a lot. Well, I would say it's worth about $27, $28, maybe $29. That's right where it is. See? It's a little overpriced. If I was going to do anything, I may take a little off the table if I have a good profit in it, or I just hold it. You could hold it. If it's a big blue chip, it will work. Even if it gets killed, it will come back. Always will. GE will always do that. They got rid of their big part of their business, or cut it way down. I'm not sure how much, which was the banking side of GE. They're concentrating on their transportation, energy, and energy generation and consumer appliance, the more manufacturing side. And they do it worldwide, of course. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what is on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Our conference is going to be tomorrow morning. We're going to talk about a lot of volatility and how it's in the past has affected markets and what it is doing now, and then what you can do about it. There's going to be like three sections of the conference, and I hope you can make it. Be tomorrow morning, Continental Breakfast. We have some handouts, going to give away some books. And yeah, I think it will be very informative. So I think that if you can make it, it's in San Jose, $45 per person, and it's 9 to noon in San Jose. If you want to sign up, go to our website. You can see it right there. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and you're listening to Invest Talk. And I'm here to help you answer all your money-related questions if I can. Again, 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Steve or Justin?
I'm wondering what out there is going to work better over the next 20 years than buy and hold.
You're the best person to ask it at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, let's go to Paul in San Jose. He wants to talk about Macy's. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Steve. What a fantastic show.
Thank you.
I've been listening to your show for a couple years and love it.
Thank you.
Anyway, I got two questions, Macy's versus Sears and Sears Holdings. I'm ready to buy one of them. And maybe a comment about Halliburton and oil stock. You and Justin do a great job. And I'll take your question on the air, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Sears Holdings.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Sears is... I think Sears is in danger of going bankrupt eventually. I see no reason to buy Sears. Macy's is a much better, much better run company. And the whole area of Sears, Macy's, Nordstrom's, even though Nordstrom's is doing pretty good too. The whole area of the department store era, it seems to be fading and losing a lot of traction to, you know, online sales. And I don't see how that's going to change. I think that's going to continue to be that way. So it's going to be a tough road for these department stores going forward. I can see a lot of consolidation in the industry down the road. Having said that, Macy's is it's a decent price. The PE is 10, but then the earnings are going to go down this year 17%. Before they bounce back up 7% next year. So it's a $40 stock, and they're going to make $3.83, meaning they're about 11 PE. That's pretty reasonable. The five-year PE range is 8 to 17. They're really good on return to equity, and they pay a nice dividend, 3.6. So Macy's would be something I could be interested in. It looks like it's put in a bottom. I don't know if it's the bottom, but a bottom a couple months ago. And is trying to work its way up. So I'd be positive on Macy's, but negative on Sears. Okay, Sears Holding. I just don't care for that. I think, and you've heard me say this before on the air. I've not been shy. I think big oil is you can start dipping your toes in there. Start buying big oil because I think oil looks like it's kind of bottomed right here. Now all bets are off if we head into a recession. It'll probably go lower, but it seems to me that oil has bottomed right in around the $30 range. And, yeah, could it go to 20? Yeah. But I still think big integrated oil companies are the way to go. And the reason why I say that is because they have different parts of their business. You know, they look for oil. They pump it out of the ground. They then refine it and sell it to the public. And along that chain, they make money. You know, if they refine it, you know, go ahead.
I'm just going to tell you, you bought me a few steak dinners over the past couple of years because some of your comments have been great.
Well,
I love your show.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate it. Hey, 888-99-CHARTER is our number, everybody. Love to talk to you about anything financial. How about managed futures? Do you know what managed futures are? Do you know what futures are? Now, there's mutual funds that offer this. These are things that were not available to the public, you and me. You had to be a trader on the futures floor. Yeah, it was very... Today, you can almost buy anything that's out there. You could buy currencies. You could buy precious metals. You know, before, the only way a private person could buy precious metals is to go down to the gold store and buy gold coins. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. You can buy an ETF of gold. It's just amazing what you can buy, but you got to be careful because you got to understand what you're buying. And the futures market is, I'll give you a good explanation of how it works. Let's say you're McDonald's and you want to ensure that you get potatoes. Okay. In the next 5 years. Over the next 5 years, you want to ensure that you're going to get potatoes. So you can buy part of next year's crop of potatoes at a set price. Say, okay, I want 1 billion pounds of potatoes, and I'm willing to pay, you know, X amount for the potatoes. And of course, today, as you buy a billion pounds of potatoes, how much is it going to cost today? But I want to ensure it's going to be here a year from now. So I'm going to buy it now, and you'll guarantee my future delivery of those potatoes. That's the futures market. It's very common in the commodities. So now, let's say I buy a futures contract five years from now for 1 billion pounds of potatoes. And since I'm buying it today, They are guaranteeing them a price for those. And I'm going to actually, I'm buying the futures contract, which says I will buy that billion pounds of potatoes in 5 years at a set price. So my price should be low because I'm taking uncertainty out of the market. I'm giving you certainty that I'm going to buy it 5 years from now. You don't have to worry about it. You already sold your potatoes. Whatever. So you're betting on the future. Now, let's say 2 years from now, potato prices just skyrocket. And you bought a futures contract at a price X, and now the price is 2x X. Well, you can sell your contract for 2x X. You can sell it. You make profits on the contract. You don't have to take delivery unless you hold the contract to delivery date. That's the futures market. They have a mutual funds that does that. Trades futures. Has nothing to do with the stock market. Gives you instant diversification away from the stock market. You're listening to InvestTalk. Coming up next half hour, what terms you don't know can hurt you. If you don't know the terms, they can hurt you. Anytime, 888-99-CHART.
For our Southern California subscribers, if you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, here's a seminar for you. Learn the ins and outs of the 1031 exchange, and InvestTalk's own Justin Klein will dig into the investment side of real estate. You'll see examples, too, of current real estate investments. It's Thursday, February 25th, 5:30 p.m. at J.T. Schmid's Restaurant. That's 2415 Park Avenue in Tustin, California. And again, that's February 25th at J.T. Schmid's in Tustin. We continue right now with this Friday, February 19th Invest Talk. And now you can think of KPP Financial as a resource for real estate answers. To get your individual question to us, click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com or call right now, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Matthew in Kansas. How you doing, Matthew?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Hey, I have a simple IRA through my work, and I was needing to increase my holdings in foreign exposure, and I was looking at the ETF of PID for like a 5 or 10 year play in my simple.
Okay.
It's Paul India David.
Okay, and that's the exchange traded fund ETF corresponding to the NASDAQ International Dividend Achievers Index. And there's a book called, there's a book that they put, the Dividend Achievers come out every couple of years and list all the stocks in there. So this is an index of the Dividend Achievers in the NASDAQ International market. And it paid 4.9% dividend. And I would tell you that over a long period of time, this will work very nicely. Okay.
Okay, so it should be a good way to diversify foreign instead of doing emerging markets since it's bigger dividend payers.
The bigger dividend payers mean they're a lot less volatile, even though they might be foreign. They're a lot less volatile. Okay, and it's okay, and it's not this, and Matthew, it's not. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh my bad. Would you be okay putting about 8% of this in there, and then doing like a 2 or 3% exposure in emerging?
Well, I would not be opposed to that, long as you don't do too much more. And just to remind you, this is not necessarily foreign. It's international, which will include United States companies, U.S. companies. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So you, if you want some foreign exposure, this will give you some, but it won't be all foreign. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, no, I don't have any problem with that kind of allocation. I do not. Now, yeah, it doesn't mean if you're a long-term holder, that'd be fine. You don't have any issues. But it will be that the emerging markets will be more volatile than our markets. But also, volatility means up and down, not just down. Everybody thinks it's down. It's not. Up and down.
Right.
Thank you for the call, Matthew. Appreciate it. Let's go to Leah in the Bay on the Bay Bridge. How you doing, Leah?
Hi, Al. I've had better days. Going 5 miles an hour.
Oh, I've been there. I know how that is.
I'm sure. So do a lot of people. But I was listening to your show, and I had a question.
Sure.
My daughter graduated from high school a couple years ago, and she's a hairdresser now. And she basically works for herself, but she also works for a salon.
Okay.
And she was wanting to know, you know, I'm trying to teach her about the market and everything, but she wanted to know if, because she gets paid in tips, you know, and she wants to take, you know, like give me $20 a day or something like that to invest for her.
Okay.
And, but I wanted to teach her, and I don't really know quite the answer to that, what to put it in, or, you know.
Okay, well, that...
And I tried to show her mine. On my portfolio, I have quite a few shares of Home Depot.
She probably should.
So I don't know if I'm telling her right or not right.
Yeah, I don't think she should start off with buying an individual company. She probably should start off by an index, you know, like the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ.
Uh-huh.
And she probably, if does she get a salary as well as tips?
Yeah, it's very small.
Okay, it's very small. Okay, so then she can set up an IRA, which would be tax deductible for her, and put that, you know, up to $5,000 a year in there. And that would probably be the best way. That way, because every dime she puts in there, she doesn't have to pay any income tax on that.
And each time you put money in there, you don't have to pay another fee, do you?
No. And being that she's fairly young, 20, she might want to do a Roth.
Yeah, yeah.
A Roth IRA.
And if she holds on to it, then she'll spend it. So that's what I'm like.
Yeah, well, because if she puts it into the IRAs, you can't take money out of there. Well, you can, but then you're penalized and... You don't, you know, this is for her.
Right.
This is for her retirement. So I would probably opt for the Roth IRA, where she's probably not in a very high tax bracket anyways. A Roth long term might be better for her.
Right.
You can open it up at like Schwab or something, and it's free to open it up, and then just buy, you know, when she gets $100, $200, $300 in there, buy an index, buy the ETF,
SPY. Oh, I see.
The SPY is the S&P 500. I don't think I would buy individual stocks. She doesn't have enough assets yet. So that's what I would suggest she do. It's pretty simple.
Okay. So when you do it in the index, they kind of pick it for you.
Yeah, they track. The index holds a bunch of stocks. The SPY owns the S&P 500, all 500 stocks in the index. And she would own a little piece of all of
those. What do you think of self-directed IRAs?
That's what we're talking about. She's going to direct it.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if that was the same thing or not.
Yes, that is. Okay, Leah?
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks for the call. If you have any more questions, send me an email. Give me a call. I'll help you. Okay, 888-99-CHART. When the market goes through these periods of volatility, everybody, do you worry about it? Do you worry about your retirement portfolio? How much worry do you have? How vulnerable are you to a market fall? And should you even worry about it? Should it be a concern? So really, you know, there's what we call a sleep at night quotient. Can you sleep at night and not worry about it? That's what you should be. Now, starting my wealth conference tomorrow, we'll talk about that. It's at the San Jose Hyatt in San Jose, the Hyatt Hotel in San Jose. It starts at 9, goes to noon, and it's $45. We provide continental breakfast, a cookie break, coffee, tea, sodas, you know. And we give out handouts, all kinds of things. And it's kind of fun. I kind of enjoy it. I think the audience enjoys it. If you have any interest in the market, you'll enjoy it. It's all about teaching. It's this show on steroids, and we pick a particular topic. So tomorrow's going to be all about volatility and how to take advantage of it. Sign up starts at 8:30. Again, at the San Jose Hyatt House. You'll see you tomorrow if I can. I hope to see you there. Again, it's at San Jose.
There are certain privileges to being on the inside. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have new opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve and Justin, important topics, annuities, wills and trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, updated ETF lists, and much more. You can sign up now on InvestTalk.com.
So why haven't lower oil prices helped the world economy? You would think it would. Cheaper gasoline at the pump. But see, you're thinking in the United States, right? You're thinking here. Lower oil prices around the world has extracted about 3.2 trillion dollars, or 4.5% of the world GDP. Okay, deducted that. Because remember, a lot of countries use oil as their income. That's the income for their government. That's what the employees, they work in that industry. And if the oil prices go down, that hurts their bottom line a lot. And then, therefore, that think about the effect of that, that ripple effect of that in those countries. That's one of the reasons why it's really hurting world economies. The activity, economic activity has slowed down. Think about sales, transportation, exploration, all those things that aren't happening as much as they were before. And of course, there's the benefit here in the United States, especially. We benefit quite a bit because we're a big oil producer and we're a big oil consumer. And we are consumer driven, our economy. So the lower the oil prices, the net effect is good for us. But if you're living in a country, you know, you're in any of the oil-producing Middle East countries, it's bad. Okay, how about some of the South American countries? What if you're Brazil? They're a big oil producer. That's bad. They're not a consumer of oil. They are an exporter of oil. Any country that exports oil, it's bad for them. So that's why it's not getting a ripple effect of very good low prices and helps everybody. It doesn't help everybody. Think about our oil industry and how it's really hurt our oil industry and how that has now rippled into the financial industry that loaned money to the shale oil producers that may have trouble paying back their loans. It's a ripple effect. That's the problem. Time for InvestTalk 101. The terms that matter. What investing term or concept do you least understand? Do you understand risk? You may think of risk in terms of a dollar amount that you could lose when an investment that you invested went bad, you risk that dollar amount. What about longevity risk? In other words, what if you outlive your money? The risk of outliving your money. That's a risk. It has nothing to do with the stock market. Well, it may have something to do with the market if you have investments in it, but there's risk in life, all kinds of risk. How about diversification? You've heard us talk about diversification. I mention diversification all the time. What does that mean? A lot of people think they have diversification, and they don't. They say, well, I got 10 mutual funds, so I'm very diverse. Not necessarily. Where are those mutual funds? What do they do? Are they doing the same thing? They overlap. Do you have a lot of overlap in ownership of the same positions? You know, so you got to think about diversification differently. It's what you got to diversify away from certain risks. Make sure you spread the risk over a lot of different asset classes. How about balancing your portfolio? Well, what the heck is a balance? When do I rebalance? How often do I do it? What does it mean? It can get quite risk and balancing and diversification. All three are different. And a lot of people jumble them up in their mind thinking they're not. They're all very specifically different. Try to understand how they work. And that's InvestTalk 101. These are just a few of the investing terms and concepts that you really should get your hands around. That's what we're here for, to help you get your hands around them. Maybe you'd like more clarification of any of these things. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART, or you can make a personal note. Send it directly to me, an email, by going to contact Steve or contact Justin if you want him to respond at investtalk.com. That's an email that comes directly to me.
Hello, this is Morris, first-time caller from Austria. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about Tesla Motors Incorporated, the ticker symbol TFLA. I am very, very interested in purchasing it for my pension fund. So I'm wondering if you could give me an entry point and tell me a little bit on your views on electric cars in the future, not only in the United States, but globally. Thank you. Great show. All the best.
I think electric cars are the future. I really do. Right now, they're a tiny fraction of the automobile industry, but I think they're going to become slowly more and more and more popular because they're going to be more and more and more powerful. more long-lasting, more, because I think the technology is great. Tesla itself, of course, has convinced everybody that they're the cream of the crop of electric cars, and they probably are. But because they have everybody believing in them, the stock has just skyrocketed. It went up to $280 a share back in July, and it went down to $140 just about 5-6 days ago, and now it's at $166. At $166 a share, they're going to make $3.23 next year after making $1.41 this year, and losing $2.30 last year. So what is $3.23 worth with a company with sales growing about 20 to 30% per quarter? Well, let's say it's 30 times PE. That means it's a $92, $93 stock, and it's $166. Therein lies why I don't own Tesla. I like Tesla a lot. I would love to own Tesla, but I'm not going to pay that much money for it. It's way expensive, way expensive. Now, management owns 28%, which is good, and the stock has really taken a dive and looks like it might have found a bottom, which is good. And they're finally starting to grow sales, because before they really have been very sporadic with their growth of sales. I'm concerned. Tesla is really good car, good company. I think it's going to be one of the major major car companies of the world. I really feel that way. It's going to take years to get there. And I think they could have the possibility to do that. But they're not going to do it without competition from Toyota and GM and Ford, all the other guys. They're going to develop their own cars that compete. And their stocks are much cheaper. So the question about Tesla, great company. Great management. Love it. Too expensive. That's all. Could you buy here? Sure. Because it could stay expensive for years. Right? It could. It could, but I'm going to wait. For me, I'm going to wait. Tesla, I'm probably going to wait till the next recession, whenever that may be, because then I know it'll be a lot cheaper, and then I'll pick it up then. But that's Tesla, TSLA. If you don't know Tesla, boy, you don't live in the United States, that's for sure. And I think that everybody knows about Tesla, and you know this is I think it was from the Ukraine, our caller. About Tesla? Anyways, or Austria. Anyways, I like Tesla, but it's too expensive. It's as simple as that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I want to get to why I think the market could slide by 30%. It's already down 10 to 15%. Why can I think it very possibly, both fundamentally and technically, why it could do that. Our InvestTalk Anytime number is 888-992-4278. As I've said, I've repeated that number often, so it gets stuck in your head, right? That's what the job is. So I'm here to answer your questions, any money questions, 888-99-CHART.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk.
Let's talk to Raul in Santa Clara. How you doing, Raul?
Okay, thank you, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you. You know, today the Standard & Poor's, I think, downgraded the IEP bonds, yes. The loans, I guess.
Yes.
And the stock dropped pretty big.
Yeah, it took a
so
big
I was wondering if it's going to drop more or should I get out, or what's the significance of that downgrade on the stock?
Well, it definitely going to hurt it for today because it comes out, right? The news is already out, Raul. So,
right.
You know, I don't think you should, you know, it's already too late to get out from my point of view. I think it probably will recover. This is IEP, Icon International, Carl Icahn, right? Holding company engaged in investment management, automotive, metals, real estate. It's like he owns a lot of different things. And he is S&P decided that they were going to downgrade, or thinking about downgrading, his bonds that he has to junk status, meaning they think they're very poor quality. Now, I'll say this, Raul, the reason if they go to junk status, the S&P is thinking that some of these bonds may go default. That's what the thinking is. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's true. So the news is already out today. What you do is, if it breaks below, because it hit a low. I mean, the IEP has been falling for over a year, like many other stocks. And it hit a low of $52.51 or so 4 days ago. And today it's at, 45.51. And right now it's at 46.75. It fell $6 today. So if it breaks below that 42.50, I'd get out. I'd give up, Raul. If it holds above it, that means the bad news is already out there and the sellers are already sold. Then I just hold on to it. Okay?
Oh, I see. Okay. Thanks a
good,
lot.
Good luck.
Yes.
IEP, everybody.
Yes, thank
you. Icon Enterprises. Well, Carl Icahn is a veteran investor out there. Okay, can the market fall 30% or more? Can it slide down there? Remember now, it's already fallen 10% for the S&P, 15% or so for the NASDAQ, and worse in different various sectors. But why would it fall? Well, fundamentally, one reason is, we talked about already, is low oil prices. When they don't help the world. They don't. So when other countries are faltering, we are not immune to them. So it hurts businesses and governments around the world. Our strong currency and the currency swings that we've had around the world. There is a currency war going on. This does not help our market. And our strong currency hinders our exports. We've already seen it in the numbers. And that's not going to change. And it certainly makes world trade, pretty uncertain. The banking sector has really taken it on the chin lately. Okay, really, because of possibility of bad loans and other things. But you know, banking is a vital. It's like the lifeblood. Money flowing around is like the lifeblood of an economy. And if the banks can't do it, or won't do it, or having trouble doing it, the blood doesn't flow. From a technical point of view, the market sentiment is pretty low. People are not very positive about the stock market. So every time it tries to rally from the lows it made in August, it's failed. It's not. Now, you can also say it's made like four different lows and bounced. And at some point, the bounce will be hard enough to get us back into a bull market phase. But I also can say there's been many attempts to break above since last May was the high. It wasn't very high last year. And every time it tries to get close there, it can't break above that. We're in this range, and it's going to break down or break up. And with the earnings, corporate earnings, it feels like more of a breakdown. Corporate earnings are poor. Liquidity, the Federal Reserve is trying to dry up liquidity a little bit. That's not good for the market. I'm going to show some evidence of that tomorrow. I'll show you QE 1, 2, and 3 and Operation Twist. And I'm going to go back to 1937 during the Great Recession. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. How exciting is that, huh? Our time is up. A reminder that if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to investtalk.com and clicking on Contact Steve. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. I hope to see you tomorrow in San Jose Hyatt House, Saturday morning, Wealth Conference, 9 to noon. Doors open at 8:30. Walk-ups are welcome.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing.
Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.